Good evening.
Good to have you with us, all of our visitors. Always welcome. We have Tony with us this week and Tricky's wife. And you're talking about powerful lessons. We've heard two good ones, and I'm sure you'll hear one tonight. Good to have them with us. We're going to start out with number 91. After this song, we'll stand for prayer, and Brother Larry Burnett will be leading us in a prayer. 91. This is kind of new to us. We're doing our best, so bear with us on these new songs or on the TVs. If you don't want to go by that, you still have our books. Because He lives.
God sent His Son.
Father, we bow before you this evening, thanking you for the opportunity to come and hear Brother Tony bring us a lesson for your word, and we'd ask your blessing upon him that he would have a good recollection of those things he studied and keep him and Tricky safe in their journey here and back home. And just pray, Father, that we will all glean a lesson from his hard work for preparing it. And Father, we're so thankful for your Son, Jesus, and the fact that he lives, and the fact that we can have our sins washed away if we obey the gospel. When we go down, we die to the world and go down into that watery grave and are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we come up out of there, just as he lives, we can live, and someday it's our prayer that we would be with him. And Father, we ask your blessing on the congregation here at New Lex. We just pray that you would help them all to work together in unity and let your light shine through them in a way out, that it may shine in this community, that many might be drawn to the family of Christ. And give them the wisdom, Father. Be with the elders as they work here and the deacons, and give them the wisdom to know what to do and say when we have visitors, and just continue to keep working hard. And we just pray, Father, that this congregation will keep growing and this building will soon become full. And Father, we pray for all those who are here tonight that might have a burden. Pray that they would hear something that would help to lift that burden. We pray, Father, for those who have been battling sickness. Many times we become weak, and we look to you for the healing. And we pray, Father, for those who have lost loved ones. And we know, Father, that there'll be some day when you'll take us out of this wicked world and to a better place for eternity. We're so thankful for that opportunity. We pray, Father, for our world as it struggles right now. Pray that the church might have an opportunity to set an example before the world, that they may look to you for their guidance. Now, Father, as we go into our lesson tonight, again, we ask your blessing upon Tony and upon each and every one of us, so we'd be good listeners. We'd listen with open hearts, and we'd let these things reign in our lives. Help us to walk more according to your will each and every day. When we stumble, please forgive us. Give us the strength to overcome these temptations. And when we come to the end of our journey here, whenever that might be, we pray that you would forgive us any unforgiven sins and grant us a home in heaven with thee. These favors and last blessings we ask through Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Next song's 490, Canaan's Land, I'm On My Way.
To Canaan's land I'm on my way, where the love.
like to welcome Tony here tonight. He's, like Tom said, he's had some very good sermons so far, and I'm sure we're going to have another one tonight. Tony has been a pulpit minister for Fredericksburg, Virginia Church of Christ. He has a bachelor's degree from a college, Bible college here in Ohio. He preached approximately 40 years in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Florida, Michigan, California, North Carolina, Arkansas, and Virginia. I don't know why you ever leave California. It's nice and warm down there. My, I'm cold tonight, people. He is a son-in-law of our beloved Tricky and Larry. Also, I always thought Tricky and Larry, they were everybody's grandma and grandpa, but that was my thoughts. Tony and Tricky have five daughters, Tia, Tricky, Tara, Tessa, and Tony with an I. They have 12 grandchildren, six girls, six boys. Their son-in-law, TJ Davison, is a minister in Arkansas as well. I think him and your daughter came up here one time, a long time ago, and he preached, and she drew while he preached. And it was, then he had a magic show for the kids afterwards, and it was very enjoyable. We welcome you back to the New York South Main Church of Christ here, Tony. Thank you very much for coming.
Conduct this gospel meeting. Appreciate all those who are members here, South Main Church of Christ. Appreciate all those who are visiting with us this evening. It is a blessing to have you. And my wife, Tricky, and myself, we are so thankful to be here. As I mentioned yesterday, we have wonderful memories all the times we've been here. Of course, to visit Tricky's parents, my father, Larry, and mother-in-law, Tricky Arnold. They've always been a blessing to us, and all the times we've been able to worship with the church here, and the times I've been able to preach here and hold some meetings here. It's just been a real blessing, and I can't thank you enough for this invitation to be with you this evening, and I hope that this message that I present to you will be one to encourage you and challenge all of us to really make us think. I'm going to speak to you this evening of five great Bible truths. And these five great Bible truths we consider, that we're going to consider in this lesson. I'll just say it from the outset. I know that we all know about these. We all know them too well. And yet so many times we find that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things enter in and they choke the word out. As Jesus talked about, where we don't become fruitful, as he gave us that parable of the sower, Mark 4 and verse 19. And so we don't want to let those things happen. And so, as I said, although we know these five great Bible truths, there are so many factors that seem to blot them out of our minds. And so I hope that you'll take the time and just focus, if you'll give your undivided attention on these thoughts this evening. And again, I thank you for being here, because I know there's other places you could be, but I believe you made the right decision in being here tonight. So the first great Bible truth that I want to mention to you is that we must remember that life is short. And I think we all know this. You know, we can just turn around and think back, and it was years ago, but it seemed like, where did the time go? Over in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 27, we find a man there by the name of Methuselah. Now, the Bible tells us that he had lived 969 years. Whoo, that's a long time. Can you imagine that? I mean, I just can't imagine that. 969 years he lived. And the Bible says that. But then it ends by saying, but he died. That's right. You know, he lived longer than any man on this planet. Than any person that has ever lived on this planet. And yet, I'm sure that life was still too short for him. I mean, I could just imagine, as he was coming down near the end of his life, that he would be praying to God, oh, please, just give me a few more years. Just give me a few more months or a few more weeks, a few more days, a few more hours. Yes, we just are never ready to give up this life. That's the way it is. I think of David in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 20 in verse 3. Now, David was, he was running for his life. Saul was after him, and he was talking with Jonathan, Saul's son. And David was scared. And in 1 Samuel chapter 20 in verse 3, David said, "There is but a step between me and death." He knew that, you know, at any time, his life may end. I think of what Job said in Job chapter 14 in verse 1. Job says, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." And then we come over into the New Testament, and we read in James chapter 4 in verse 14, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." So James tells us our life is, it's here, and before we realize it, it's gone. You know, last night when we left here, heading out this road, boy, it was foggy. And it was, you know, at one point I said, "Now we got to be careful here. For all we know, a deer may come out," and it just, you're a little nervous. But, you know, I know that that fog is just here, and then it's gone. And the Bible describes our life is like, it's like a vapor that's here for a short time, and then it vanishes away. Life is so brief. Time is, it stands still for no man. Someone has once said that if you're 10 years old, well, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. If you're 20 years old, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. If you're 30 years old, it's high noon. If you're 40 years old, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're 50 years old, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If you're 60 years old, it's 6 o'clock in the evening. If you're 70 years old, it's 8 o'clock in the evening. And then they said, and if you're 80 years old, well, it's time to pillow our heads to sleep. You know, I know when I was in my 20s, boy, I thought 30, boy, that's getting up there. But then once I hit 30, I think, well, that's not too old. And now 40, now that's getting old. But of course, once I hit 40, I thought, well, that's not that bad. But then I thought, now those who are 50, now they're old, you know. But then, of course, once I hit 50, I thought, well, that's not too bad. In fact, I remember my father-in-law, Larry Arnold, one time was telling me, he said, "You know, Tony, once you hit 50, it's not going to be easy to just move around, to relocate. You know, churches, they want somebody in their 20s or 30s. And, you know, I found that out to be the case. You know, we moved more than we wanted to at times. But, you know, that's, and then, of course, when I got older than 50, I thought, well, 60, now that's getting up there. And then, of course, once I hit 60, I thought, that's not that bad. And then I thought, well, now 70, boy, I'm getting, and sure enough, you know, here now I'm 71, and I'm thinking, well, that's not too bad. Isn't that the way we always are? Yes. But let me tell you what the Bible says. Now, this is a fact. This is what God's word says, and you know this. In the book of Psalms, chapter 90 and verse 10, the scripture says how that the days of our years are 70 years and 10. One score is 20 years. So 70 is 60. 70 and 10, that's 70 years old. So the average lifespan, God says, is 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years old, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now that's what God says. That's, I guess if we're living longer than that, we're on borrowed time, right? Now in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So if there's anything we need to do it while we're alive, because we're not going to be able to do anything when we're in the grave. Yes, we must remember how short life is. Life is very short, and it would be wise, and it would be wise enough and we'd be mature enough to admit this and acknowledge that. So that's the first great Bible truth. Life is short. Secondly, the second great Bible truth is that death is sure. And once again, in that book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, in verse 2. Now there, Solomon tells us how that there is a time for everything. But in Ecclesiastes 3, in verse 2, he says specifically that there is a time to die. And we know that's the way it is. God tells us there's going to be a time that we're going to die. And then in that same book, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 7, he says, in death, the body shall return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. So when we die, this physical body is going to go back to the earth, from dust to dust, right? But then he says, however, the spirit is going back to God who gave it. Okay. And so Romans chapter 10 and verse 12 tells us, therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then in Romans 6, verse 23, he tells us how that the wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 22, the scripture tells us, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Yes, the Bible says in Hebrews 9, in verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's an appointment that we're going to keep. You know, we can have all kinds of appointments in life. You can have a dentist appointment, a doctor's appointment. You can cancel it, postpone it. No going, no show. But hey, this is one appointment that you're going to keep. Now, maybe you put death out of your mind. That's going to take place a long time from now. And I hope that's the case. But of course, we don't know. We know that death is sure. The Bible tells us in Psalms 89, verse 48, what man is there that liveth that shall not see death? There is no man that lives that's not going to see death, unless the Lord comes first. You know, the great artist, Michelangelo, he once said, I have reached the 24th hour of my day, and all my projects have death written all over them. He knew his life was not going to last. Yes, death is as close as an assassin's bullet. Death is as close as a drunk driver out of control. Death is as closest as a deadly disease destroying us unknowingly from within. Death is unexpected. A few weeks ago, I was out walking. I try to do this every day. But I like to walk with music. So I put the headphones on, I listen to Pandora, and I put it on shuffle. So I have all kinds of music I enjoy listening to. I'll listen to rock, jazz, blues, country. Anyway, there was a country song that came on, and it about made me cry when I heard the words. And so I wrote them down. It's a song that's entitled Heaven by Noon, and it's by a girl by the name of Megan Maroney. Anyway, I want to read these words to you. Did you know how much I loved you? Did I tell you enough? I've been crying since I got the call, been beating myself up. I'm angry at the sky. None of this feels right. Only God knows why. I wish I knew tonight. I know where you're at, and there ain't no time at all. No heartbreak, no more pain. Just streets of gold you get to walk. When I talked to you this morning, I said, I'll see you soon. We would have said so much more if I only knew that you'd be in heaven by noon. And then the second verse, how's the world still turning? And why do stars still shine? The strength to get up off this floor, I can't seem to find. I'm angry at the sky, and none of this feels right. Only God knows why, but I miss you tonight. I know where you're at, and there ain't no time at all. No heartbreak, no more pain, just streets of gold you get to walk. When I talked to you this morning, I said I'll see you soon. Would have said so much more if I only knew that you'd be in heaven by noon. You got wings in no time, and I wish we had more time, but it was your time. So until I get there too, I know where you're at. There ain't no time at all, no heartbreak, no more pain, just streets of gold you get to walk. When I talked to you this morning, I said I'll see you soon. Would have said so much more if only I knew. I would have said so much more if I only knew that you'd be in heaven by noon. You know, I know that she is singing about a loved one that she was talking to in the morning who had passed away at noon. I said, I'll see you soon. I would have said so much more if I only knew that you'd be in heaven by noon. You know, but the thing that hit me when I was hearing that song and about brought tears to my eyes, I thought to myself, you know, you never know when you're speaking to someone, when you're seeing someone, that it may be for the very last time. Death is so unexpected. Yes, death is unexpected. And I in view of the suddenness of death, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The great painter Raphael died with a painting half finished. The late entry in the diary of Sir Walter Raleigh was tomorrow we shall. Never finished it. Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, the living know that they will die. But when will we die? I heard about a Bible class teacher one time. He was teaching his Bible class, and he told the students in the Bible class, make sure that you obey the gospel before you die. One of the students raised his hand, and he said, but teacher, we don't know when we're going to die. And he said, well, then make sure you obey the gospel today. And that was the point he was making. When you die, what kind of epitaph would be written about you? Will it be said that you never obeyed the gospel? Will it be said that you died an unfaithful Christian? Wouldn't it be wonderful if your epitaph said, he fought a good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. Now, that's what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4. In verse 6 through 8, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He knew, this is it. I'm about to die. So he then wrote, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And we need to have that same attitude. Life is short. Death is sure. But now there's a third Bible principle I want to mention. And that is that there is a judgment to face. There is a judgment to face. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible tells us, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself before God. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that every one of us shall receive the things done in our bodies according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. You know, when we stand at that judgment, we are going to stand before the greatest judge that this world has ever known. And speaking of Jesus, the Bible says in John 5 and verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So he is a righteous judge, as Paul mentions there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. And he certainly cannot be bribed. He will render to every man according to his works, Revelation 22 verse 12. And he will render to every man according to his deeds, Romans chapter 2 in verse 6. He will see to it that we are going to reap what we have sown. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. You know, the greatest crowd ever assembled will be gathered on that day. Mm-hmm. And before him will be gathered all nations, as Jesus mentions in Matthew 25 and verse 32. All who have ever lived from Adam and Eve until the present moment, until the end of time, will be there. There will be no escape. Think about it. Think about that great sea of humanity. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So we are going to be judged by his words. Yes, but we are sure that the judgment of God will be according to truth, as we read in Romans 2 and verse 2. And as Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 17, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And so the judgment is going to be according to the word of God. The apostle John had a vision of that judgment scene, and he was inspired to record and write that in our Bibles. And so the apostle John mentions in Revelation 20, verse 12, he said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works." So we are going to be judged by God's word. The greatest verdict ever rendered will be rendered on that day. He will say either, you know, that those who have been good to resurrection of life, those who have been evil unto the resurrection of damnation, and they shall go away into everlasting punishment or to eternal life, is what the Bible tells us. The greatest separation that has ever taken place will occur on that occasion. Christ will separate the saved from the lost at the end of time. Christ will separate the saved from the lost in the kingdom or the church, according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 41. He talks about those who have offended him shall be cast out. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. On the judgment, there will be a husband that will be separated from a wife if one is saved and the other was lost. On the judgment, parents will be separated from their children if one is saved and the other is lost. On the judgment day, grandparents will be separated from grandchildren if one is saved and the other is lost. So it will be heartbreaking to see this separation take place. Some will stand on the left hand of Christ and will be numbered with the goats. Some will stand on the right hand of Christ and will be numbered with the sheep, according to Matthew 25, 32, and 33. I heard about a couple one time that had been married for 80 years. Imagine that. I met one couple one time that were celebrating their 75th anniversary. And I thought, that is wonderful. But anyway, I heard about this couple that they had been married for 80 years and they had never spent a night apart. You know, they had three children, 15 grandchildren, and 51 great-grandchildren. Now, I don't know what their spiritual situation with God was, but can you imagine if one of them was saved and the other one was not a Christian, was lost, and that they spent every night together for 80 years? That would mean that after 80 years of spending every night together, they would be separated throughout all eternity. And worse than being separated from loved ones would be the separation one would experience from God. That's why the Bible is so clear about some things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." And so, yes, number one, great Bible truth, life is short. Number two, death is sure. Number three, there is a judgment that we are going to face. The fourth great Bible truth, let us never forget this, that there is a hell to shun. You know, many people, they seem to think, especially in this day and age, many people think hell is a laughing matter. But the truth is, hell is no joke. The word hell is found 11 times in the Bible. 10 of those times, it is found on the lips of Jesus Christ. So Jesus spoke more on hell than anyone else. On one occasion, Jesus said in Matthew 10 in verse 28, "Fear not him which killed the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell." Jesus said hell is a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Mark 9, verse 47 and 48. But yet there are many people that just don't seem to believe in hell. And worse than that, there are many preachers that never preach about hell. Well, that does not destroy it. Fire will burn whether you believe it or not. Frost will freeze whether you believe it or not. And poison will kill you whether you believe it or not. Hell is not a place where one goes to be purged and purified or salvaged. Hell is not a reform school or a resort. Hell is not a playground, but rather it is a place of eternal punishment. We read in Revelation 21 in verse 8 how that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Some years ago, a man lived in Hell, Michigan. I read that, I thought, there's a town called Hell, Michigan? Oh, there is. There's also another town in California, Hell, California. Anyway, this particular fella that lived in Hell, Michigan, he worked for the state. And one day he was transferred to Paradise, Michigan. Though the news picked up on this, and they had a title there, and they wrote, "Man leaves hell for paradise." Now, you know what? That may happen in Michigan, but let me tell you something. That's never going to happen on the other side. You know, a person's never going to leave hell to get into paradise once this life is over. And if you die lost, you will go to hell and you will remain there forever and ever and ever. So number one, life is short. Number two, death is sure. Number three, there is a judgment we must face. And number four, there is a hell to shun. The fifth, the last great Bible truth I want to mention is that there is a heaven to be gained. Jesus said it best. I love what he said in John chapter 14. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also." That's a beautiful promise. You know, if heaven, in heaven, we will receive a crown of life. In heaven, we will be clothed with white garments, as Revelation 2 and verse 7 and 10 speak about. In heaven, we will never know hunger, thirst, heat, tears, death, sorrow, crying, or pain. Revelation 21, verse 4, "And our God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Can you imagine that? A place where there will be no more tears, a place where there will be no more sorrows, no more pain, no more death. Yeah, it's the land of no mores, you know? And I'll tell you, if we could get on board a plane right now, I'd want to get on, because I've gone through all the heartache in this life I want to go through. You know, I'm going to go on. But there's a place called heaven to be gained. All things will be made new. Revelation 21, verse 5. "Heaven is a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. It is clear that the Bible says it is a building from God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, verse 1. You know, you can go to heaven without health. You can go to heaven without wealth. You can go to heaven without fame. You can go to heaven without a great name or 1,000 other things. But you cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come unto the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. He is the only way. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, the Bible says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. And so if we are born again, then we are in the kingdom. John 3, verses 3 through 5. If we live faithful Christian lives, we will remain in the kingdom. Matthew 13, 41 and 42. I read about a missionary one time who had came back to America after 40 years being on the mission field. And when that ship docked there, the port there, he came off, and there was a lot of other people that came off that ship, and they were having a fanfare, and the bands were playing, but a lot of people came there to welcome, but no one was there to welcome this missionary and his wife. And this missionary, he turned to his wife. He said, you know what? You would think that there would be someone, that there would be some people to welcome us home. His wife looked over at him. She said, honey, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. And that's so true. It's just like the song that we sing. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3 and verse 20 how that our citizenship is in heaven. We're strangers and pilgrims in this life, but our home is in heaven. And if you are lost, then I want you to know we have given you 5 reasons for becoming a Christian. Life is short. Death is sure. There's a judgment that must be faced. There's a hell to shun, and there is a heaven to be gained. So why would anyone wait? Think about it. To be a Christian, we must hear the gospel. We must believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. He's the only way. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus said we are to repent from our sins. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Jesus said, if I tell you no, but unless you repent, you're going to perish. Jesus also said we are to confess him before others. Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Have you ever made that confession? Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then Jesus, when he commissioned his followers, his apostles, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, every person, he said in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And then as a Christian, we are told, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So this is what the scripture says. Where will your soul be? 10 billion years times 10 billion years from now. Well, it all depends on what you do with these 5 great Bible truths that we have considered. So let me close this message out by just reminding us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Come on, test it, prove it, make sure about it. Don't think about someone else. Think about yourself. Am I living a faithful Christian life? We are told in Acts 17 and verse 11 how that the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched, they examined the scriptures every day to see whether those things were so. And I'm encouraging, asking you to do the same thing. what we're sharing tonight, to get in your Bibles and look at the scriptures and make sure that what I'm saying to you is from the Word of God. The Apostle Peter said it best over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. He said to make your calling and election sure. Okay, your soul is nothing to gamble with. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for his son, Jesus Christ, that he made it all possible that we could be Christians and we could be prepared to meet our God. We're going to extend the song as an invitation. Our Lord invites us to come to him, whatever our need may be. If you need to become a Christian, if you've drifted away, you need to come back home. If you need the prayers of the church, if whatever help we can offer to you, if we can be of help, let that be known. Have the courage to respond to our Lord. And so we're going to sing this song as an invitation. Our Lord invites us to come to him. We hope that you will. Won't you come right now as together? Let us stand and sing. Please come.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you.
Tony, thank you again tonight. Great lesson. I was just thinking, the singing's been beautiful. Thank you all for coming. I hope to fall asleep tonight with that song in my ear. That was wonderful. Any announcements that need to be made at this time in the congregations around us or anything? Anything for this congregation?
Okay,
we'll remember Holly tomorrow then.
Dave?
Somerset has Ladies' Day coming up, and let me check the date on it. Is this month? Is it this month?
17th.
This month, registration is at 9:30.
Okay. That's at Somerset?
Yes.
Yep. Anything else? If not, we'll be dismissed with a closing prayer.